So it's 4 o'clock and we're ready to go, I hope. Welcome to the last but one session on a Thursday afternoon in Seattle. I hope that you've been enjoying Build so far. We're here to talk to you about Confidence at Speed, Visual Studio 2017, and your CI pipeline. Now, I want to ask kind of why are we here? I was walking around the room a little, talking to a few people about what they're hoping to get out of this session. And I heard a variety of answers. And we've been talking to a great number of developers, to a great number of folks from CTO levels through managers, through individual devs, about the kind of challenges and problems that you're facing in your world today. And really, they come down in a few buckets. The first thing that we hear from people is, well, we're being asked to deliver our applications at ever increasing cadence, okay? So there's just no slowing down anymore. We have to get our stuff out the door fast, okay? The second thing that we're hearing is, oh, by the way, while you're doing all of that fast, make sure that you don't compromise on quality at all, okay? We want to make sure that everything moves fast, but nothing breaks, right? That's important too. And the third one. Yeah, do that all with less money. do it cheaper. And so, as you start to look around in the developer ecosystem, people come up with various answers to those kinds of questions. How can we proceed more quickly, but still have confidence in what we're doing? How can we proceed more quickly and still be cost effective in what we're doing? And people come with different solutions to that, as I say. The kinds that you hear are what we need to do is adopt a DevOps lifestyle. That's really what we need to do. We need to get ourselves to a place where continuous integration and continuous deployment are part of our world, and that those things just happen naturally. And continuous quality, we better do some of that as well. But since we're not working with the pointy head boss from Dilbert, we really do need to actually know what those things are and how to implement them and how to get them going in a reasonable fashion. And so when you dig into them, it turns out that there's some complexity behind those words, right? Once you start to actually look at what it means to do continuous integration, to actually deliver continuously, to actually make quality something that's part of your regular lifestyle as you go along, you realize there are a lot of moving parts in that equation, okay? And so what we want to do is talk to you about some things that we're doing that will hopefully make that an easier process for those of you who are just starting out on the journey. And I talked to a few folks here who are just kicking off on that journey, who are starting down the road of becoming continuous integrators, continuous deployers, and continuous deliverers. And what we're going to show you today is some new tooling that we're working on that will help you configure your CI/CD so that you can set up for development at speed, okay? We're going to look at some code quality tooling that will help you when you're getting to whatever you call commit. If you're a Git person, your commit is your religion. It's a check-in for the TFS folks, and there are other words too, but commit with confidence, right info, right time. We're going to provide you with exactly the right kind of quality information to make sure that you can proceed fast, but proceed with knowledge and commitment. We're going to show you how we can avoid you having to bounce out of the IDE to deal with things like pull requests and not lose your context. And finally, we're going to say, we hear from an awful lot of you that you want to keep your life inside the IDE. You don't have to have 16 different contexts to manage all the time. And so we're going to show you how you can stay alert to what's going on in your build and deployment environment without having to spend your life alt-tabbing to other places. Okay? So first up, I want to invite up my colleague, Ahmed Matwali, who's going to talk to us about the configuration of CI and CD. Welcome, Ahmed.
Thanks, Mark. Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here today. So as Mark said, we've talked to a few of you before we started the session, and I've heard that people are still starting with CI/CD. Some people are at the far end of the spectrum where they're actually doing this, and they want to see how they can optimize it and make it faster, and some that haven't even heard about it and have never used it yet. So a quick show of hands, Who here knows what continuous delivery is? Awesome, cool. Who here does actually continuous delivery today? Okay, cool, a fair bit. So in the old days, we used to build our code on our machine, continue development, eventually commit it to a version control system. At a certain point in time, we would actually generate a build, toss it over the wall to the test team. The test team would test, send us bugs. As time evolved, as we wanted to do this a little bit more efficiently, we would schedule builds. So we would have a nightly build that is basically running on some build agent somewhere. So we'd write some scripts. A server would check out that code at night. We'd run a nightly build. In the morning, the QA team would come in, and we would know whether someone broke the build or whether we actually have a build, and then they would take that, deploy that manually, and continue running with it. The whole idea behind continuous delivery is that we would try to improve things a little bit. As Mark said, we're continuously being asked to deliver things at a much faster pace, at a much lower cost, while maintaining quality, while trying to continuously improve quality. So continuous integration services, which allow us to do continuous delivery, basically check our code on every commit. They would go to the version control system. So every time I would commit a piece of code, they would get notified. They would fire up a build agent that would check out that code, build it. Hopefully, I've added some unit tests to my code. They would be able to run that on the code that I checked in. If there are any issues, they would notify the team, all the stakeholders involved. And I know that I have a problem right away, and I can actually get right on it and fix it and improve it. We can take this a step further, and if I have an environment set up for my dev, an environment set up for my testing, then it would automatically take that build, if it succeeds, and deploy it to my dev and test environment so that my QA can start working on it. And I would get notified that now I have a new build in my dev environment or my test environment, and I can start running with it. In large organizations that are blessed with a DevOps guru, there is some person that takes care of that. That person actually knows what are the policies required in the organization, so they can set up our code repository for us. They can set up the branches based on our branching strategy that we've decided on in our organization. They can set up the workflow and the associated policies. So what happens when I actually commit code? What happens when I create a pull request? What's the process that we should follow in the organization? And they can actually go and configure the version control system so that when I do commit code, when I do create a pull request, those policies would automatically kick in, and whatever needs to happen in that workflow actually starts happening. People will get notified that I actually created a pull request. If there are certain analyzers that need to run and provide annotation or basically provide analyzer results on that code, they would run. But they have to actually go and configure that today in the version control system. They also need to understand what the different roles are involved in the project and which developers will be in what role and what type of access control is required. To actually configure continuous integration, they need to understand what system I'm going to use for my CI. They have to create build definitions. They have to know what type of projects I'm going to be building, what type of technologies I'm going to be using, which build tasks they need to actually select. If I need particular build agents, if I'm doing something unique, if I'm building containers, for example. Here I've heard of containers today. Who uses containers? Okay, awesome. Who successfully uses containers? Cool. So they would have to understand all that and be able to set it up for me. Let's take it a step further. Now I can actually have a successful CI build, and I get notified when my build runs. They need to set up my dev and test environment. They need to lock it down, know exactly who has to have access to it and who doesn't. They need to go back and configure all these systems to talk to each other and be able to target that host with that particular build. And when that build succeeds, push it here, and then if I get an approval here, push it there afterwards. They have systems today that have like VSTS, like Jenkins. They have systems today that gives them all the different tools, all different knobs, so that they can tweak it and configure it exactly to do that. But there are dev teams that are basically at different parts of on that spectrum. And there are dev teams that don't necessarily have DevOps people. And one of the things that we are trying to do is to see how we can help these dev teams get up and running quickly, get in the zone quickly, get focused on actually producing quickly, and then learn along the way what it is that they need to do to actually get to that level. So in Visual Studio 2015, we introduced the ability for the developer to automatically or very quickly from within the IDE push their code to a version control system, push their code to VSTS or GitHub, for example. So that this way they can actually have their code under version control. Over time they can go in and configure it differently if they want to, but at least that gets you to step one. Now your code is actually under version control and you can start collaborating on it with other people. The Azure team and the VSTS team have collaborated together so that if you've got actually Azure resources that you're creating, if you're creating Azure App Services, if you're creating Docker container, if you're creating Azure Container Services hosts, if you're creating Service Fabric clusters, you can actually now go in and configure continuous delivery directly from Azure. So you have your code in version control. Now you can go to Azure after you've created your resources and enable CI/CD from within Azure. One thing that we're actually doing today in the IDE that we're working on is to enable you to do that automatically from within the IDE as well. So I have not created my resources, or I don't know how to create my resources yet. Can I have the IDE help me create that automatically and set up CI/CD for me? So I'll walk you pretty quickly through a demo of what we've released in Visual Studio 2017 Update 3. So I can go in here and create a new web project. And as I'm creating my web project, I'm going to ensure that it's actually under source control. So this creates a web project that is under local source control. And I can add unit tests to it as well, so that as I'm developing, I can actually create my own unit tests. So as this project is being created, I'm just going to go quickly and get one out of the oven and use that here. So that's a simple web project that is created and is already under source control. I actually went ahead and added it to a remote repository under VSTS as well. And I can easily go to that project now and configure continuous delivery. So I might be working on something that I'm still playing with, for example. So a couple of weeks ago, Mark and I started collaborating together on a project, a bike sharing app project. When I joined the team, I know Mark is a quality person. He's a stickler about quality. I actually wanted to work on new idea. I didn't want to work on it in the same solution, the same project code. So I started my own project. I started playing around with it. But I knew that eventually, because we're running on a very tight schedule and we have a deadline that's imminent, that I'm going to be migrating a lot of that code into the final solution, which has all the policies set and everything set in there. So most of that code was going to fail if I eventually do that. So what I wanted to do up front is to go ahead and configure continuous delivery for my project so that I actually at least get my CI builds running very early on and get to know what is going on with my project very early and get that feedback and be able to actually fix my code as I'm still prototyping it as well. Too many IDEs running. There we go. Which one? So if I right-click on the project and select Configure Continuous Delivery, it automatically identifies the repository that I'm in. It brings up the list of branches that I have. It defaults to what's most probably going to be my trunk branch, my main branch. It selects my Azure subscription from the list of Azure subscriptions that I have. And it defaults to the creation of a new Azure resource for me. If I have a list of Azure resources and I want to select an existing one, I can go ahead and do that. Or I can just let it create one for me, and it will do that behind the scenes. So if I click OK here, what this will do is it'll go ahead and start creating a resource group on Azure. And in that resource group, it will create an app service plan and an app service for me for my web service. Once it's done actually creating the web app service for me, it'll create a service principal so that VSTS can talk to it. So it's not just going to create the resources, it's going to create the resources as well as what I need so that VSTS and Azure can talk to each other later on and be able to deploy my code to it. Once that's done, it's going to go to VSTS and start creating all these other things that I talked to you about before, the build definition with all the tasks, the release definition with all the release tasks. So this is, for example, this is a build definition that we've created before. And what it actually did is it created a build definition with a default set of tasks that go get my source code, do all the NuGet restore that I need, goes and builds the solution, runs any unit tests that I've set up for that solution, publish the symbols, package all these artifacts so I can take them and release them afterwards. No problem. Thanks. So by default, CI is enabled on this, continuous integration is enabled on this. So basically, it means every time that branch changes, the code gets automatically picked up and a build runs. Once that build runs, and if it runs successfully, we get basically a release definition would fire up an instance of a release, pick it up, and run with it. So as you can see, what the release definition does is it's got a deployment to Azure task here, since I'm only deploying to Azure, and it picked up a service endpoint connection, as well as the information that I need for VSTS to connect to Azure and be able to deploy to it. The last VSTS asset that was created for me is actually a service endpoint. And the service endpoint is basically a connection point between VSTS and Azure that tells VSTS how to connect to Azure exactly, where to go, and then use that to connect to the app service required and deploy to it, or the Azure host that's required and deploy to it. So going back here, we see that during that time, we've actually created the resources on Azure. We've created the build and release definition on VSTS. And a build was already picked up and ran. And that build was successful. So today, from within the IDE, you can configure continuous delivery for any ASP.NET or ASP.NET Core project to an Azure app service. If you install an additional extension called the Continuous Delivery Tools for Visual Studio from the gallery today, you can configure ASP.NET and ASP.NET Core solutions that contain ASP.NET and ASP.NET Core projects with support for containers, so with Docker Compose projects in them, and be able to deploy those automatically to an app service for Linux or a Service Fabric cluster as well. So with that, we'll go back to Mark to talk to us about quality.
Thanks, Simon.
Thanks, Mark.
In these power-saving days, I forgot to turn off the power save here. Let me just click that forward. So, hopefully Ahmed's persuaded you that it's a good idea to connect up a continuous integration and continuous deployment chain if you don't have one. But how about preventing those issues from getting to the CI process in the first place? Okay. In England, where I come from, we have a saying, a stitch in time saves nine. What that really means is early remediation is a good idea. Okay. And I hope to show you in just a few moments here how we're going to bring to bear at some critical moments in your coding pattern things that will prevent you from having to put up with issues once you finally hit your CI. So here I am in a simple web project. And imagine I've been working all day on this thing. I've done my fairly typical coding style. I've blazed my way through this thing and haven't necessarily paid complete attention to every little indication that the IDE might have given me about things that are going on. And that's actually pretty normal for an awful lot of people. When we talk to a lot of developers, they say, look, you know, I get in the zone, I get my stream of consciousness down on paper, I get it working, and then maybe I come back and I think about some of those other things. And so I would really like it if you could help me understand when I get to some certain critical moments in my code's lifecycle. I'd love it if you would help me understand where my code's quality is sitting. And so this is what the next piece you're going to see is all about. So as I've been working away, I'm ready now to make a commit. And so if I just zoom in here, I don't know whether you guys have all discovered the new Visual Studio features for working with repositories here. There's these little guys down in the status bar here that let me see that I have a change pending. So I'm going to go ahead and use that, and it will bring me up this pane here. And something to notice here is there's an extra thing that you may not have seen before in this kind of window. You'll notice that I'm seeing here an indication of build and code analysis results, okay? Now this is really just the things that I would have seen if I'd paid attention to the error list, okay? But actually, it's very helpful to me to get this little nudge in the side at this moment in time when I'm about to commit my code to let me know that I might have some stuff that I haven't paid attention to just yet. And so that's what this is all about. It lets me know just when I really need to. Now, here's the thing. I might be running for my bus, and it might be that kind of commit, right? It might be the kind of commit that's really a save at the end of the day. We're not going to force you to look at this information, okay? But we do hear from folks that they'd like to at least see or have a sense of the trend on quality, and this is one kind of quality parameter that we're looking at here. There'll be others that we'll think about over time. I want to get that little nudge in the side that tells me to do something about this. And as it turns out, I'm prepping for a PR that I'm going to do, so I'm feeling like I should pay attention to this now. So I decide that I'm going to hit the View Issues button. All the View Issues button does is brings up my error list here. Okay. Now you can see here in the error list, and I'm going to just zoom in a little so that you can see what's going on here, that those are the two warnings and the one message that are relevant to me at the moment, okay? Now, actually, those are coming from a couple of interesting sources. Those S-coded ones are actually coming from SonarLint, which is essentially sonar sources, scanners, packaged up to do this kind of online code analysis as you code. And so they're feeding into the error list here. There's this IDE 008, which is actually a code style rule that's coming in from the Roslyn compiler, from the code style rules that are running there, that have been set up for my team. Okay, so I'm actually seeing these things, and I could go ahead and take action on them. So let's kick off and do that. Here we're seeing that my team has a policy, and in fact, I can see where that policy comes from. Policies for this kind of thing are set up in the editor config file now for code style, and that's something that's new for Visual Studio 2017. So you'll see that things like that var rule are actually defined right here. So I can see that my team is a team that likes to have people not use var. I know that this is somewhat of a religious debate, and that's why there's a configuration file for it. But you better have that debate amongst your team, because the nice thing about editor config is it's a convention for your code base. Okay, this is a convention you can set for your code base. So I'm seeing a benefit of that right here. And I can go ahead, and as it turns out, because the nice folks in the Roslyn team have gone ahead and done this for me, there's a nice fixer for me here. I can actually fix this up automatically, and life is good. One down, okay? So now guys tell me that actually I really, really ought not to be using this this public field here, and I should be wrapping that up. And so I'm just going to go ahead and do that, and as it turns out, doing that also solves the other problem that I had. And so now, when I go back to my commit, I can see a nice row of zeros, life is good, and I can commit with confidence. Okay? So that's the deal. So anything that feeds into your error list is going to do this. Okay, so let's take another example. Just take another look at another place where this is relevant. How many guys code in C++ out there? Yeah, a smattering. That's actually more than a smattering. About a third of the audience here. That's great. So you'll know, as C++ guys, that the regular kind of analysis that you do on a C++ project typically doesn't run at edit time. It's kind of hard, the way C++ compiles to make live analysis across a broad range of issues a reality. But usually it runs on kind of build exhaust, on binaries. And so to make this really work, you need to have a binary to work on. Well, same process here. I've been working on this function, and I'm ready to commit. I hit my change button, and I notice that there's this little refresh analysis button here. Okay, this button is going to get better over time. It's going to get cleverer about understanding when your analysis is stale. But for now, it's just reminding you that you might, because you're committing, want to have a look at the analysis results for this project first. Okay, once again, I'm not running for my bus. On this occasion, I'm actually getting ready to do a proper PR. So I think it's time for me to run an analysis on this code and make sure that everything is good. I can hit refresh analysis. It will fire up the code analysis, the static code analysis for C++ that is configured for this particular project. And sure enough, being the doofus that I am, I have managed to introduce a really stupid mistake here. And the mistake is that this local declaration of status is hiding the one from the outer scope. So the results of this function will almost never be, well, will never be what you really want them to be. So, you know, being a smarty, I'm going to go ahead and fix that with a simple comment. And I'll refresh my analysis again. And now the world has become a happier place. The error list is empty. I come back to my commit. Nice row of zeros. Once again, I'm ready to commit with confidence. Now, you've seen that this is working for things that fit into the error list. And we've been working with some partner teams from different organizations who provide code analysis tools. And one of the teams that we've been working with is the good folks at Endepend. Any Endepend users out in the audience? One or two? But Endepend provides a very wide range of code analysis tools that will find many, many different kinds of issues that you don't want in your code. And you can see here that in this new prototype that Endepend have put together for us here, which indicates a direction that they're going in, they are putting their issues into the error list. So just the same as before, they're showing up right here in the build and code analysis pane. So that pane is now providing us with a nice heads-up display for quality issues at commit time. And that's hopefully something that you think is going to be a good thing and is going to be something you'll use. As I said, we're also thinking about adding other kinds of quality information in there, and I would love to talk to you guys afterwards about the kinds of quality information that you would like to see in this box. Okay, we're going to provide any number of different heads-up displays. An obvious one that we're thinking about here is unit test pass rates on a local box basis. But there may be others that are important to you, and we would love to hear from you about that. So I'm just going to move back here. So what you saw there was you've got a heads-up display for quality issues just when you need it. So this commit experience is actually also in the continuous delivery for Visual Studio extension for enterprise users. So if you have enterprise and you install the continuous delivery tools for Visual Studio on that issue of Visual Studio 2017, then you are going to get the thing that I just showed you. And that's live now on the gallery. You can pick it up right away. Anything in the error list benefits from this experience. So we are encouraging our partners who work in the area of analysis to put their stuff into the error list and get the benefits of this tool. So it works for both edit time, as you saw, and for non-edit time, like static analysis stuff, as you also saw. And the other thing that if you're Git folks out there, you'll be saying, well, okay, well, I'd really like to see that same kind of information in my PR, because that's the moment when I'm flowing code to my organization. So that's one of the things that we heard very strongly as we've been talking to developers about continuous quality over the last few months, is that PR is a critical moment for you. And so we are definitely looking, also in the continuous delivery tools for VS later, at a PR experience. So what I'm going to give you here is just a little concept preview. This is pure mock-up, so please, you know, don't believe that it will look exactly like this, but just get the idea of the concept. So you see here that we're looking at a create pull request in the IDE. Okay, we'll actually allow you to create a pull request inside the IDE. And the neat thing about that is that when I then go ahead and click on that View Issues button, I get exactly that same experience that you saw before. I can start fixing issues up before I commit my pull request. Now, we recognize that not everyone is going to play that way. Okay, so some teams use pull requests as a means to have that discussion about the issue at hand. And so we are going to, the way we're thinking about this at the moment, and I'd be super interested to hear your feedback on this, is that we're going to allow submit with issues. You see a little checkbox at the bottom there that would allow you to push things in when you have known quality issues so that you can have a discussion with your team about it through the medium of a pull request. And that is absolutely something that we hear some teams working on that basis. So now I'm going to invite Ahmed back up again, and he'll give you the straight up on what it takes to stay on top of your CI status while you're working in VS 2017.
Thanks, Mark. Great. So Mark showed us how we can actually ensure the quality of our code before we commit, before we check it into our repository. I know that Mark is a stickler. He likes quality. I work with him on the same team. I'm one of the guys that ends up on a plane a lot. I'm not proud of it, but sometimes I wrote code at the airport. Sometimes I actually wrote code off my phone. and at some point in time, I submit that code. I do run all my analyzers. I actually make sure that everything is fine. I create the PR. We review it. It goes through the full review, and it gets approved. And I'm about to complete it, but at the last minute, I realized I got actually an update from my UX team that we need to change a string in that code. So, for me, if I'm going to do that, as I'm actually about to get on the plane, that means that I have to abandon that PR and start the review all over again because I just made a small string update. Usually what I do is I send out an email, hey, I'm just going to do this last string update in the PR. Are you guys okay with it? I'm going to do that update and go ahead with it. So it did happen where I actually went in, made a small string change, and as I made the string change, I forgot to append the last quote on that string. And went ahead and saved it and submitted it and committed that code. Luckily, we actually had CI set up for that project. So I just did a minor string change and went ahead and committed that code and just automatically pushed it to my code repository. But luckily, that project is actually under version control. There's a CI, there's basically a build definition that's there that runs that got the CI trigger enabled, and then it automatically picked up that code change, checked out the code, and started a new build. As that build was running, I didn't even know about it. I went ahead and just moved back to whatever it is that I was doing and continued working on it and continued with my project and continued writing my code. So, as I was writing, we had a build definition that was created for our project that was working on VSTS that automatically builds our code and then takes it, deploys it to an Azure Service Fabric cluster, and would automatically go and deploy all that for us. The cool thing about it is, as I'm continuing to work within my IDE, and not actually having to worry about what's going on and having to worry about other things, we thought, wouldn't it be nice if we actually get a notification within the IDE that would tell us that my CI build actually broke? I have a little kid. I have a 5-year-old kid at home. He has an amazing ability to completely ignore me whenever he's doing something. If he's sitting there painting, I could call him till the cows come home. He's going to ignore me. But if I tell him, hey, let's go out and play, somehow he hears that. He forgets about whatever he's doing, and he gets up and he's ready to go. I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we could actually develop that same capability and be able to filter all that noise and just focus on the information that we want? I want to do my job. I want to focus on writing code. But I still want to be notified of important stuff that happens and important issues that happen. And only at that time, just let me know about it and let me know that something broke, and then I can go back and focus on it and fix it and then get back to whatever I was doing and get my job done. So let me go back to the build that I was working on. This is the build that succeeded, and then so we can see here that we have that build actually started on VSTS and the build failed. As I'm working on my code, I would automatically get a notification that actually I have a build failure. I can click on that build failure in the IDE, and it would take me automatically to my build failure details on to the build on VSTS, and I can go through it and find out what the details of that failure is, go back and fix it. And commit my code again, and it would automatically get picked up, and another build would run. So that's one thing that we've worked on that is actually available today in the extension as well, in the Continuous Delivery Tools for Visual Studio extension. And if you download the extension, you'll be able to get build notification for all types of builds. So if you have CI/CD set up for your own projects, so you don't necessarily have to configure them from within Visual Studio, you would still get build notifications for them. We would automatically pick up which repo that solution is in, and we would look for CI builds in it, and you would get notified for with CI build status as well as manual build status. Excuse me. So one of the other concepts that we're working on and should hopefully be hitting the extension very soon is PR build notifications. So again, this is not available yet, but will hopefully be available in the near future. Mark just created a PR. I'm actually working on my code. But it would be nice if I get notified that there is a PR that's waiting for me to review right now, so I can, as I'm working on that project, I can just go ahead and click on that PR. And when I click on it, it would take me automatically to the PR. I can see the details, I can comment on it, or I can annotate it whichever way I want. If I need to change something, I would change it. And then Mark would get notified as well that now, you know, there are comments and there are items that he needs to address in the PR. He'd be able to do that and eventually would be able to walk through the whole process without having to leave the IDE. So I talked pretty quickly, and we mentioned the extension several times. I mean, why is the Visual Studio team creating an extension? As you guys are always striving to deliver things faster, as you guys are always striving to deliver things at a higher quality, we are trying to do the same. So we've started the CD4VS extension a few months ago to try to get product, to try to get some features in your hands quickly and get your feedback on them, and try to innovate on them quicker, and eventually match that or move that to the Visual Studio IDE itself. So I'll let Mark talk to us a little bit about the roadmap for CD4VS and Visual Studio and what we're planning to do and how we're planning to move these features back and forth.
Thanks a lot, Ahmed.
Thanks, Mark.
So hopefully you've seen some things that that are going to interest you there, and no doubt you're thinking, how can I get my hands on all these goodies, and what are we doing and why? As Ahmed already said, the Continuous Delivery for Visual Studio DevLabs extension is a preview vehicle for us. It's something that we are going to use going forward as a means to push new ideas in this space that you can use and that you can try out, and most importantly, that you can let us know whether they're meeting your needs or not, so that we can change, tweak, bend, make them work the way that they need to, so that they're better for you in your general working pattern. Back in November 2016, we hit a first release of that, and as you can see, it had a number of different features, covered a couple different project types there. What you should watch now, though, is here we are at May 2017, and you can download today the preview version of 15.3, which is our update to Visual Studio 2017, with those features that we started experimenting on back in November 2016 and started releasing in preview form to you guys. We've taken the feedback that you guys have provided to us, and we have refined them, and we've now placed them into the product. So you can get those now in that preview release of 15.3. At the same time, we've added all of the other features that you saw today. So CI build, failure notification, links to build results, and the code analysis on pre-commit that you saw are all in the bits that you can get on the gallery today for Continuous Delivery for VS. So just go ahead and download that from the gallery, install it on your VS 2017 installation, and you'll get what we were showing you today, and you can try it out for yourselves. But we're not done. So as you saw a couple previews of things that we're absolutely working on next, and that's going to be coming up in the Continuous Delivery Tools for VS DevLabs extension in the coming months. So watch out for those things. They're hopefully going to be exciting to you, and we certainly won't stop there. There's an enormous amount to be done in this area, but we really hope that it's something that you're seeing as being valuable to you in some scenarios right now. So what do we want you to do about it? Well, if you haven't got the message by now, I don't think I've been doing my job very well. Our call to action to you is straightforward. Go and get Visual Studio 2017 preview version 15.3 from that address. That'll get you that built-in ASP.NET and ASP.NET Core, I'll put my teeth back in now, CI/CD configuration. Facility, and then all of those other features you saw us demonstrate today, just go get the extension. But we don't want you to stop there. It's really important that you help us improve, because you're the guys who really do this stuff in the wild. We do it, and we do it every day, but the way we do it may not be the way you do it. Okay, so there's a lot of variation in requirements in this field, and we really do want to hear your feedback. And so we've opened up a number of channels for feedback. You can tweet us, you can follow us on join our Slack channel, or you can share via email if that's your preference. So just go ahead and do those things. Download the tools, get a hold of them, and give us your feedback, because we will be paying attention to that, and we'll be getting things improved. The extension, in fact, ships on a very, very frequent cadence, so just like you, we have to ship fast as well. And part of what drives us in shipping fast is the feedback that you give us, okay? So please do keep in touch and help us improve. So I wanted to just take a few moments now towards as we draw to a close to draw your attention to some other related sessions. Martin Woodward has an excellent session on continuous delivery with Microsoft Azure. I'm sorry, I don't have time and location details for that one there, but you can pick it up on video afterwards if you need to do that. He will give you all of the Azure side of that story. So you saw that blade that Ahmed was talking about earlier that helps you configure for CI/CD. He will go through all of that in great detail, give you everything you needed to know from the perspective of doing that. If you're IDE fans, and I'm a rabid IDE fan, I've worked for 10 years plus on IDE tooling, then you really don't want to miss what's coming up in half an hour's time. It really is worth taking the time to go to the last session of the day for this one, chaps. It's wonderful. Alison and Justin will give you a whistle-stop tour of Visual Studio IDE productivity tips and tricks, okay? And I guarantee you that you will learn two or maybe three things you didn't know that you will take away and think, how on earth did I live without this? So please do go along to their session. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Same deal with Casey's session on the debugger. The debugger is full of hidden treasures, and so I'm hoping that you'll take the time to go along to her session and learn all about them. She'll give you lots to take away. And then tomorrow, take a look into the future with Amanda Silva and Tim Sneath. They'll show you where we're going with the IDE, and there's a ton of really cool stuff in that the demos that she'll be showing there. So please do go along and see their session, and I'm sure you'll find something to interest you there. It's Thursday, guys. You know the drill. It's time you filled out those evals. We really do appreciate them, and we do take action on them. So please make sure that you fill out those evals. And I'd like to make time now for questions that you may have. And by the way, if you don't get your questions asked now, Ahmed and I will be downstairs on the VS IDE booth, which is down in the expo area. Please come and ask us your questions. We'll be there as soon as it takes us to get down from here to there. But please come and ask questions now, and we'd like to hear from you. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I have a question.